And now, Lord God, consider words in the chapter that we have read. The epistle of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 1. We can read at verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And two thoughts especially arising from those words. First of all, the gospel that is hidden, and then the gospel that is revealed. Christ in you, the hope of glory. A few thoughts on those heads. Paul writes from prison in Rome to the church in Colossae in Asia, and he thanks God for them, for the effect of the gospel, and for their walk and their conversation. And we notice that he gives God the glory for all his work. He could have spoken of himself, but he speaks of God, of Christ, and what he has done through the means that he has given Colossae and the world. And he goes on to pray that they might be sustained, that they might grow in knowledge, exercising faith, growing in knowledge, for that is the order of Scripture. It is through faith that we will come to a knowledge of God. And it is through faith that our faith will be strengthened and our faith will overcome. One has said, I don't know in order that I might believe, but I believe in order that I might know. I believe in order that I might know. For this is honouring to God. And those who seek him, they shall find him, and they shall grow in knowledge. And he thanks God for sending him as a messenger. And he delights in this fact that this is what he is, an apostle, a messenger of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to reveal that the gospel that he preaches, that it is mysterious. It is a mystery. And it is interesting that the Hebrews interpret mystery as to close one's mouth. To close one's mouth. That is, in those days, when folk communicated before the days of emails, computers, the way of communication was by speech. And if a person remained speechless, we couldn't know what was in his mind, what he thought. And therefore a mystery was a closed mouth. Now it is interesting connection with this, that this mystery, the gospel, that it is hidden in God. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Hid in him, not by him. It's in him, and until his mouth is opened, we cannot know the gospel of the saving grace of God. And again, a mystery, even when revealed, is still mysterious. For we see that the ancients, those created beings, morally responsible also as we are, that they come to know the gospel or its power in the church. They are intellectually superior than we are, both as creatures and with the ability of reason. And he goes on to the intent, still Ephesians chapter 3, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers might be known in the church the manifold wisdom of God. It is therefore in the church that the angels see the effect of God's wisdom in the gospel. And it is a solemn thought to think that our God, who is omniscient, who is all seeing and all knowing, is always seeing us. He is always present where we are. And also the angels. The angel of the Lord encamps and round encompasseth all those about that do fear, and them delivereth. Where the gospel is, the angels are. And you remember under the ceremonial law, when Moses was commanded by God to make an ark of wood that was incorruptible, covered in pure gold. And in that ark, in that cabinet, among other things, there was the two tables of the law. And forming the lid of the ark was the mercy seat. It was called the mercy seat. It was a golden slab that covered the cabinet, the ark. And two cherubs, they were formed out of the gold that was on the mercy seat. Their wings touched, and they were looking down upon the ark of the covenant. Here was not only the law, but also the Shekinah, the cloud that revealed God to Israel. And the angels were looking in. And there's a good Gaelic word that describes this intent gaze, Godadaroth. They were looking intently to what was revealed here in the ark. And this is what we see, what Paul takes up again regarding the mystery of the gospel. The angels desire to know more. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill towards men. The gospel, therefore, is a mystery, and a mystery even when it is revealed, even when we know part of it. A mystery is something that still remains a mystery. Because there are many reasons for this. The principal reason is that the gospel comes from God. God is incomprehensible. He cannot be comprehended. He cannot be known. And if he were known, he would not be God. But because we cannot know him, to perfection. He is God. He is above all reason. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And so on, saith the Lord. He's infinitely above us, above all that we can think, above all that we can know. You see, the Apostle Paul, speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, and now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now you notice the change of person. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Paul tells us there, perhaps the ablest, the most enlightened man that was ever in a church. Now he said, I see through a glass darkly. Now I know in part. And he shows us his humility. Paul knew a lot. But yet he said, I don't know how much you know. But I know this, that I know very little. And I see, as it were, through a glass darkly, dimly. But then I shall see face to face. Then shall I be known, even as I am also, even as I will also be known. He shall know. Now he goes on to tell us something, and just mention one or two thoughts in connection with the gospel and its mystery. The author is a mystery. The author of the gospel is a mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness, God revealed in the flesh. And who can understand the glory of this person? Paul uses the words riches of glory. The riches of the glory of the person of Christ. What the gospel does is to exalt glory, or to glorify God, is to exalt the attributes of God. That is to glorify him, to exalt him, what he is. And the gospel, thankfully, the gospel glorifies God. It exalts him. And we see this mystery, and we will leave it here. A person who has two distinct natures. Natures that are distinct, one from the other. He is both human and he is divine. And the link, as the theologians and reformers taught, the link between both natures is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit teaches Christ's human nature. He is a little lower than the angels. He humbled himself. He laid aside, as one has said, for a time his right to call upon the resources of his Godhead, that he might live on this earth as a believer. God, believing in human nature, believing in God. The mystery of God, three in one, one in three. A being who is without beginning, without end, from whom time came, from whom time came, who controls everything by laws, who upholds the universe, all the life in the universe. Out of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Those are but some of the mysteries that are revealed in the gospel. They tell us of God. And they tell us of God in human nature, the man who is God, and who came into the world. And you know, when we begin to think of this mystery also, the mystery of faith, the mystery of a believer who believes in Christ, who has two natures, himself the believer, who is a sinner yet a saint, a sinner yet a saint, two natures, not two personalities, but two natures. Everyone in Christ has sin, but also has the Holy Spirit within. And here there is conflict, civil war going on in the believer. But the promise is that the day will come when all sin shall be dealt with and shall be removed. Now this is not easy, it is not simple. It is very foolish for anyone to think that he knows when he does not know. We are all students, we are all learning, and we must all grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember one of the great theologians from this island, and I remember what he said shortly before his death. You know, he said, I have many errors in my thinking. Now, as we looked upon that man, we thought that if any human being was a perfect teacher, this man was. And he admitted, because he knew this, that he was human. And as another has said, to err is human. The person who knew human nature, a genius who knew human nature, one of a human being said this, to err is human, to forgive is divine. To err is human. How little we know concerning this gospel. No wonder it is called the glory, the greatness, the riches of the glory of the gospel. Now he comes to speak of the gospel, what it is. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, there are many questions that may be asked in connection with those words. Christ in you, that is the gospel. There are two goals that will try us on the day of judgment. And those two rules are the law and the gospel. The law and the gospel. Now here we have the gospel that fulfills law, and makes law honorable. It is the only way by which we might have peace with God. It is through Christ, and it is in Christ. Apart from him, we can never fulfill the law. Only in him and through him. Now we will see something of what Scripture teaches, I hope, concerning this mysterious unity between Christ and his church. Now you remember in Ephesians 5 how Paul, the Apostle Paul, verse 30, he tells us we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his... Now he quotes there the words of Adam in Genesis, when he first of all saw Eve. the wife that God gave him. And when Adam saw her, he said, "This is no," he said, "bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." How did he know? He was asleep when God performed the first surgical operation, causing a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He took part of him and he formed woman. As Adam looked upon his wife, he saw there himself, the image of himself. And as she looked upon him, she saw that she was dependent upon him, for it was from him that she came. And one has said, I think it was Charles Haddon Spurgeon who said this, "Adam," he said, "was asleep when God took part of him and formed his bride. But Christ was awake when the church was formed out of his sight. He was awake in order that he might give us the gospel. In order that we might be saved, he was awake." And you know, as you look at that history, the history of Christ, you will see how he rejects a sedative. How he rejects it. He doesn't want his senses to be blurred in any way. But he takes the wine that the soldiers had when they would be exhausted on the march. The wine that they used to drink to strengthen them. He took some of this wine. Refusing a sedative, he took what would strengthen him as a human being. And he went on to purchase the church, his bride. And you know, there is something else written in that chapter that is very important. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. There was one person, he left this written, "I was," he said, "in great pain and suffering." And he must have been, although he doesn't reveal it, he must have been questioning God's relationship to him. And he said, "Then those words came with power to my mind. No man ever yet hated his own flesh. Christ will never reject his people. That is not to say that we can understand his dealings with us. That is not to say that all is made clear. But this is made clear, and we should lay hold upon it. He has loved with an everlasting love, and he will continue to love his own, his bride, the church, which he purchased with his own blood." Now there is here again the mystery of his presence with his church, and all that this means, just now with a few thoughts in connection with it. The Holy Spirit is the effective reason for the presence of Christ in his church. The word is the instrumental reason. We have the two different words, the effective reason and the instrumental reason. The effective reason, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit abiding, coming into the believer's heart as the Spirit of Christ, as the Spirit of Christ. The instrumental cause, faith, to receive him, to rest upon him. In other words, the reason for this happening is Christ and you. Christ and you. he would come, you open the door. You are willing to receive him. And when he comes and you receive him, he will take his place in your heart. The Holy Spirit. Now, there might be a question. He will not speak of himself, Christ speaking of the Comforter. He will take of mine. He will reveal it unto you. But he doesn't need to speak of himself. Christ will speak for him. Christ will reveal the Holy Spirit as his Spirit that takes his place in the heart of the believer. That is the glory of the gospel, that every believer has the Holy Spirit. By faith, he and she is spiritual, and Christ dwells in their hearts. Now, what is the effect? Well, this is the danger. We might know the gospel intellectually. We might be able even to reason intellectually concerning it. We might lay hold upon the doctrines. We might guard them, protect them from others. We might be highly offended if anyone objects to them, and yet be ignorant of the effect of the gospel. Be ignorant of the experimental knowledge of Christ. It must be effective. Christ in us. He reveals himself in us. He reveals himself, not a different Christ, the same Christ who was on earth. He will reveal himself in his people, that they might, Romans 8, that they might be conformed to the image of his Son. They grow to be like him. With certain qualifications, he is above them, but they grow like him, and they should become more and more like him as they go on in this world. Their thoughts should be his thoughts, their ways should be his ways, the way Christ walked, the way he thought. What he did in the world, he went about doing good, and so on. He represents himself in the believer. He walks in them and he walks with them. He is in you. And this is the change that has taken place. He has separated you, called you. You are now his. But he says, Christ in you, not glory, but Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Christ that is in you, the Christ that is in the believer, he must exercise faith, he must exercise hope and love, because the Christ that is in him is the Christ that exercised faith, that exercised hope, that exercised love on the earth. In other words, it is the servant, not the glorified Christ, that is in the believer. And therefore the believer must live as he lived, by faith, not yet glorified. And you would hear someone say, are you really the Son of God? How can you be the Son of God when this is happening, that is happening, and so on? It is written. You are able to rise above those things that are against you on earth because you are as Christ was. The world, the flesh, the devil is against you. And it will continue to be, those forces will continue to be against you. Therefore we see how exact Scripture is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now you exercise faith, hope, love. is sufficient to bring you to the glory that is prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Time is short. You will soon enter a timeless sphere. You will soon enter eternity, where there is no time. You know, when we think of, and how little we think of this, when we look round about us, this pulpit, the elders who used to be here, members and adherents whom we knew, grew up with, they are gone from us. In a short period of time, all has changed. You look at an old photograph of Stornoway, 100 years ago, and you see people there walking our streets with all their troubles, with all their problems. Where are they? Where are they? They have gone. They have left us. That is where you and I are going. We are heading for eternity. And may God grant that we might have Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And may that be seen in life, in conduct, in character. God is holy. We don't know what holiness is. It is another mystery. What is moral perfection? What is it? It is seen in Christ. He alone is morally perfect. And he will make you morally perfect, who today is morally imperfect. He has the power and the ability to do so. And you remember those very solemn words. Leviticus chapter 19. Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Hebrews chapter 13, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. We cannot be with him unless we are morally perfect. How? By regeneration. By faith in Christ, the instrumental cause, the efficient cause, the Holy Spirit, dwelling within us. And may God grant that before that day comes, that you and I will be found in him, not having our own righteousness. May he bless you as his word. Let us pray. Thank thee, Lord, for the gospel, for the good news from a far country. Although it is mysterious, yet it can be known. We thank thee for thy people who have come to know thee. Grant grace to acknowledge thee. Grant grace to respond to the call of the gospel. We thank thee that all is of grace, and that thou alone art able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by thee. Keep us during this week, watch over us, go before us and pardon sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.